Now this is my kind of party. Grab a friend, bring the guns. It's time for the Co-Opticast.
And welcome back to another Co-Opticast. This is Co-Opticast episode number 38 for Monday, February the 22nd, 2010. And Mike somehow found me and found his way back to the Co-Opticast, so Mark will not be joining us this week. But
what did you promise last week?
Oh, I said that we chased you away forever. We hid and you could never find us again. But
so you ever want that redesign to be finished?
I know. Well, that's why we were hiding. I wanted you to finish the redesign.
Yeah. Oh, did you not let that out yet?
No, we did.
Okay, good.
We kind of mentioned it in the last episode, so.
Okay. I'm very behind in my podcast listening, so. You know, I have it downloaded, but I haven't listened to it yet.
It was a good episode, but we did miss you. But you had a good excuse, so.
I would like to think I had a very good excuse.
But so with that, have you been playing any games?
I've found some time here and there. You know, as you well know, there is the usual endless parade of relatives that want to hold and huggle your new baby.
Yeah.
So, in between, you know, talking with everybody, catching up, I've been able to catch a few minutes here. So, I switched platforms on Mass Effect 2 because I figured there's no way in hell I'm going to be able to hold a baby and use a mouse and keyboard. And I refuse to put on a baby Bjorn at my computer desk. That there's just something really wrong with that. So I picked up the 360 version, which, you know, the game is so good that I don't care that it, I don't feel like the controls are as good. But I've been playing a little bit of that. I'm a few hours in. I was well more than halfway through the game on the PC, so it's a bit of a slog going through all this stuff again. And planet scanning on the console is horrible.
See, I think it's much better because you can do it really quick. You just tap it, wait for the vibration, and move on. Like, I can scan a whole planet in, like, 10 seconds.
Well, you're obviously not using a 3,000 DPI mouse that can scan faster than the upgrade before you get the upgrade. Anyway, the DS has been my best friend when I'm up late at night and, you know, baby won't go to sleep, but I still have one free hand. So I've been playing the new Ace Attorney game, Ace Attorney Investigations, and it's great. You play as the antagonist of the main series, and it's awesome and hilarious. And I also managed to sneak in about 15 minutes of the Misadventures of PB Winterbottom, which is it's kind of like Braid but funny.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've played it yet.
I played the trial last night, actually.
Yeah, it's really fun. It's all like there's a few levels in Braid where your power spawns a copy of you and you have to like do things in reverse and then get your copy to do things, and that's kind of the entire basis of PB Winterbottom. You make copies of yourself and you launch yourself around levels, and it's pretty awesome.
But you're chasing
it's like an old timey silent movie, and the writing is really clever and cute.
Yeah, and you're chasing a giant cupcake.
I believe it's a pie.
A pie, okay.
Yes.
Some sort of pastry.
But really, that's about it. I think in the past 2 weeks, I've maybe gotten 3 hours of gaming in total, 10 minutes at a time.
It gets better. The first 2 months are tough, but...
Oh, I know. I'm not complaining. It's just, it's different. And you've gone through this recently, so you know, but it's like, you have to reprioritize everything.
Yeah.
You can still do all the same stuff, you just can't do it as long or as often.
Yeah.
At least until they can play with you. And I might finally learn to love split screen.
Yep.
But that's probably a few years down the line.
So, yeah, like you, I've been playing some Mass Effect 2. I've just been going through the loyalty missions now. And I'm really enjoying the game. I've got about maybe 16 hours into it. So I'm liking that, and I also am reviewing Dynasty Warriors Strike Force on the 360.
Oh my. And how is that?
It's actually pretty good. It's
really.
My only gripe with it is it's so kind of like over the top and actiony now that it still controls like a Dynasty Warriors game, so it's a little stiff. Like, if it controlled like a God of War style game, it would be perfect. I mean, it would just be, it would be phenomenal. But the co-op works really well. It's pretty much drop in and drop out. You have like a hub world that you can create or join, and people can just come in and out. It's really cool to see all the different people's characters, because one, there's like 50 characters to choose from, and then each each character you can customize with these orbs and different pieces of different chis for your characters. So the chi is like basically like magic attacks, and you assign those to different parts of your body. So like your left arm has a thing glowing on it, your right arm, your left ankle, your right ankle. It's pretty cool. So, and
I really only have one question about it.
What's that?
Can you play as Lu Bu?
I don't know yet. I'm doing the Wu campaign first, and I don't think he's a Wu guy. He is.
I don't remember.
Yeah, I think you can. I mean, it starts out like all the other ones. Yellow Turban Rebellion, blah, 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 blah.
Right.
But it's like, so over the top. Like, the Yellow Turbans now, like, they have this big base at the end that's, like, this huge tower that you have to, like, jump up. And there's these giant bells that shoot lightning out. And these guys that are, like, floating around that look like, oh, God, what's the guy's name from Big Trouble in Little China?
Lo Wang?
Lo
Wang. No, not Lo Wang.
Lo Pan.
Lo Pan, yeah. Lo Wang is from Shadow Warrior.
Yeah, so it's crazy over the top. It's good stuff, and the co-op works really well. So
I'm just waiting for the inevitable version of Dynasty Warriors where the Yellow Turban Rebellion becomes an ice level, and then the next installment where it's a fire level.
Yeah.
You know, and those rocks that they roll down the hill at you, you know, become like flaming boulders.
Yeah. All right, so let's move on and talk about this week in co-op. And up first, actually, we just got some fresh news on this, is that the new Borderlands DLC is going to feature new enemies, jetpacks, and laser katanas. And the new news with that is it's going to be out tomorrow, which is...
What?
Yeah, the 23rd. And it'll be out Thursday the 25th on PC and PS3.
You know, I still haven't beaten the... vanilla version of that game.
Oh, really? Jeez.
Well, yeah, you know my woes.
Yeah, so the new DLC actually takes place right after the ending of Borderlands, right after the Vault. So it's a continuation, actually, of the story, and it's called The Secret Armory of General Knox. It looks pretty interesting. So some of the new enemies, they look kind of like ninja-ish kind of guys. And like we said, has some laser katanas, and apparently what I have heard is the boss of it is the biggest and most hardcore boss that Gearbox has ever created. So we'll see what that means.
Interesting. And going back to the laser katanas, I'm wondering why they didn't just go ahead and, you know, call it a beam katana and maybe make a nod to the No More Heroes series.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because let's face it, they're all lightsabers.
Yeah, exactly. So that'll be out. It's $10, and I will be getting it.
And I might get it at some point if I ever beat that damn game.
I wonder if the 360's dropped in price at all.
I've considered switching platforms on that one too, and every time I've seen it, it's still $60.
Jeez. So now we got a bit of a controversial story with SOCOM, Fireteam Bravo 3. Sony announced that the game has this online validation feature. What this is if you buy a physical copy of the game, it comes with a code that lets you play the game online. If you don't have that code, it'll cost you $20 to get a new one. If you buy the digital version of it, it automatically has the code like embedded. I guess you don't need to do the activation step. So their excuse for it, or their reasoning for it, is it's to combat piracy for the game. But what it also does is it kills used game sales, basically. You know, if people want to get it used and have any desire to play online, they're going to be forking out $20. And the way GameStop pricing works is they'll end up paying more for the used copy than the new one.
Yeah. Well, you know, considering that on the PSP, pretty much every single game has been pirated to oblivion. You know, one game that has a countermeasure, you know what people are going to do?
Pirate it more.
Pirate it and just not play it online.
Yeah, I think in most cases, like, pirates don't even care about that mode. I mean, maybe they do. Maybe they care about that mode.
They want to play that Super Nintendo emulator or that MAME, or that MAME installation they got on their PSP. They could care less about SOCOM.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, that's that. Pretty annoying, I guess. They said, I always love this quote from PR when something like this happens. Of course, the inevitable interview went up on major gaming site X, which in this case was IGN, and it was with producer or whoever decided to make this call. And he said, and the quote goes something like this, and this always happens with whenever any controversial DRM or whatever feature goes in a game, and it's so far the response has been pretty positive. The response from who? Like, your shareholders? Like,
we haven't told the audience yet, so, you know, the bigwigs who I have to kowtow to,
of course,
think it's really great.
Of course they're going to think it's a good idea. It's just, I don't know. So, we'll see what happens with that. I think the biggest thing for me, like, we've been seeing it with EA's been doing a lot with their sports games. Like, their online modes will be included as a code, like Madden's online franchise. I think the NBA game did the same thing with the online franchise. I'm trying to think, there was another one recently where it was kind of similar, but anyway,
I like what Mass Effect did with it.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to think of. Yeah,
because Mass Effect, you can still play the entire game without that download code that they give you with a new copy of the game. Mm-hmm. All that gets you is nice little perks and bonuses that are really nothing you need to worry about.
Exactly, and you know, the Mass Effect one, it's a little overpriced because that thing's like $15 if you don't get the code new. But the SOCOM one is $20, which is half the price of the game.
Yeah, so it's disgusting.
I know, like, the Madden one, I think it's $5 if you don't. The FIFA one is, I think the FIFA one might be like $10. But still, I mean, $20, half the price of the game? If you put that in perspective, like, the other ones are like a fifth or a sixth the price of the game.
Yeah, and honestly, when it really comes down to it, at least in my opinion, a multiplayer shooter, you know, has legs, like Call of Duty. You know, there's a lot of people that play that every day. But you know what? I very much doubt that there are a ton of people playing the PSP version of SOCOM every day.
Yeah, I don't know.
You know, charging people $20 to get online.
Yeah.
They're just not going to play online. They'll play MAG or something if they want a SOCOM fix.
Yeah. All right, moving on. Big news came out last week. It was kind of a surprise that it happened so quickly. Is that StarCraft II, the beta launched. And it was a really limited beta that only really cool people got in, which means Mike and I got in.
Yeah.
But
I forgot to add that to this, you know, what I was playing this week. I played 2 matches of StarCraft II.
Yeah, I guess I could put that for... I didn't even count it because I played one against somebody and got my butt handed to me, and then I played one against the AI. So... but yeah, the beta's out. I think there's 2 maps. You can do a one-on-one match or a 2-on-2. There is a co-op option, which in their case is just a comp stomp thing.
But they call it co-op, which is kind of
funny. They do. But the thing is, the co-op in it, they're supposedly going to have, like, matchmaking stuff with it, so it'll be a little bit of a nicer experience in terms of, like, play level and stuff like that. I know that they're having specific achievements for it. And the other thing that's going to be interesting with StarCraft 2 is the modability of it is supposed to be outstanding. Like, somebody at BlizzCon, they were showing off just how powerful that the engine is, and someone basically made StarCraft Ghost, which was a canceled third-person action game from quite a few years ago now. But they made it in StarCraft 2 with the mod tools. I mean, not like a whole complete game, but just that style of game. So I would expect us to see some pretty interesting co-op modes and stuff coming out of that. And all of them are going to be available through Battle.net, like right mm-hmm. in the game. So,
you saw how Defense of the Ancients took off out of Warcraft 3.
Exactly.
How it became its own damn game with League of Legends.
Exactly.
So I'm really looking forward to seeing what the mod community comes up, if the mod tools are as good as Blizzard say they are.
Yeah, exactly. So, but yeah, I mean, I was kind of shocked that they really didn't change much at all in terms.
No, it's StarCraft.
I mean, yeah, I mean, it is. It's just StarCraft with a fresh coat of paint and a few tweaks here and there. But I guess they really haven't been working on it that long. It's not like something that we've been hearing about for a while. It was only recently announced, even. It was just rumored that they might be working on it. So, I don't know. I guess I kind of liked it. Those kind of RTS games with the resource management and stuff, I'm not a fan of as much as I used to be. But
I like the way Blizzard structures their campaigns in their RTS games. Back in the day, I actually got pretty good at StarCraft. And all that muscle memory helped me out in the beta. I played around, and I didn't even look at any of the buttons on the UI. I just started mashing out the old hotkeys that I remembered, and I built a base, and I beat my enemy. My criticism is just how close that camera is pushed in.
Yeah, and like, you can't do
anything with it.
Yeah, you can only zoom in. You can't zoom out.
Yeah, it's, I don't know. I had some problems with that, and hopefully they'll tweak it. But if you, like, anybody who liked StarCraft back in the day,
yeah,
and wants a version that will run, you know, in 1080p on their nice monitor and their fast rig, you know, you're going to love this.
Yeah.
You know, they changed enough that they can call it StarCraft 2, obviously, with a lot of the new units, and it looks really nice, even with the simplified 3D models that Blizzard uses.
Yeah, it's pretty. The smoke and explosions are especially pretty.
Yeah, and the character portraits. Like, I had to laugh when I loaded up as the Terrans, kind of my old standby, and you know, it gives you an SCV, and I click on it, and there's just this hayseed hillbilly down in the portrait window, and he's fully animated, and it looks fantastic, and it made me crack up.
Yeah.
All
right, moving on. Classic Midway games have been delisted from Xbox Live. There's a few co-op ones here, and one especially makes me cry. So the co-op games that got removed are Joust, Gauntlet, and Smash TV.
Two of those make me cry.
Okay.
I'm just saying I like Gauntlet a lot.
I do too. I mean, I like them all.
I know you and your Smash TV love border on unnatural.
And some of the other ones that got delisted that aren't co-op are Ultimate Mortal Kombat 3, Root Beer Tapper, Defender, and Paperboy. And I'm actually a huge Paperboy fan.
Yeah.
But the reasoning behind this is Midway basically got liquidated, I guess it was last year, after they went bankrupt. And the licenses for those games basically expired, and nobody really owns the rights right now, so they now will fade I don't know what. Where do game licenses go to die?
South Peak.
Oh.
Anyway, I believe it was said that if you had actually purchased these, you'll still be able to download them out of your download history. You just can't buy them anymore.
Yeah, you just can't buy them new.
It raises an interesting question, though, of you know, like. Like, what happens when Steam goes away?
Yeah, I mean,
like, what will happen with all those games? You know, digital distribution still doesn't have an end point. you know?
Yeah.
You know, because a lot of these things require, you know, they're tied to an account or a server somewhere. You know, your Xbox Live games are tied to your Xbox Live account. What happens if Xbox Live goes away, but you still have all these games on your 360?
Yeah.
You can't sign in, so you can't play them, but they're still there. Interesting.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be a growing problem moving forward, and even this thing where games getting delisted and licenses expiring and everything, it's a problem because it's really strange how this stuff works. I remember when there was the whole fiasco with the transfer of licenses between Xboxes and stuff like that.
I had to do that.
Right. And Microsoft put out that tool that, like, lets you do, like, the bulk transfer or whatever else in the user-initiated thing. Like, I don't even know if I can really talk about it, but I'll just say that someone at Microsoft mentioned to me that they literally had to go to every content provider and renegotiate licenses to allow people to do that.
Ugh.
So that's why it took so long. It's not as simple as Microsoft just saying, okay, you can do this. They literally had to renegotiate licenses with every content provider. And that's not even just like Xbox Live Arcade titles. That was all the videos and stuff with the video providers and content and stuff like that. It was just, it's ridiculous. It's
making my brain hurt.
It's because lawyers run all that stuff, right? They don't see logistics of what's actually going on. They just see the numbers and the laws behind it, and that's all that happens. So let's move on and let's talk about something that was slightly disappointing but good nonetheless, and that's we finally got a confirmation of the number of players in Halo Reach for co-op, and that is 4. We had previously thought 6, and Bungie released the first vidoc of the game, showcasing a lot of gameplay footage and some of the stuff behind it. And if you didn't get a look at it, definitely hit up the site and check it out, because it made me want the game now.
I haven't watched the video yet, not for lack of wanting.
It's long too. It's almost a 10-minute
video. Yeah, they're documentary videos they put together are usually really well put together anyway. But after having Nathan Fillion voice the ODST ones, I really want one.
Yes, I'm trying to think of some of the things that were in the video, but they showed some of the new weapons. They showed that in action. The new graphic engine, or the highly modified Halo 3 engine, looks gorgeous. They showed like some of the new like the particle systems. It was like they went something from like they could do like, I don't remember, it wasn't particles, it was something else, but it was like they went from like 10 to like 15.
That's the dynamic lighting.
No, it was something else, because they showed like an example with like these things like showering a warthog and then like rolling off of it realistically. And they said, like, they're like, in Halo 3 we can only do 10 of these. He's like, now we can do 1500. And they show it, and it's like, whoa, it's a huge difference. So definitely looking forward to that. So let's move on. And another big Microsoft announcement was Fable 3. And we got our first glimpse of what that's going to be. And it's slowly getting away from the RPG origins and kind of morphing into a more traditional Molyneux title. There's going to be RTS-esque elements to it as you kind of manage a kingdom from a top-level perspective. They got away from experience. There's no experience points anymore. Trying to think some other highlight level stuff they're talking about that's pretty interesting. The new features, the things that are going to sell you on the game and ultimately turn up to be short of what it was described to you as, is the touching feature. And it's exactly what it sounds like. What you can do is your character can grab other characters, can pull them, can hold their hands, can do stuff. And depending on the way you react to them is like... So, like, the example is there was, like, a bum on the street, and his character walked up to him, and he, like, reached out his hand and picked him up, and the guy took that as a friendly gesture, and he started walking down the street, and as he walked down the street, he grabbed him by the scruff and started leading him to a factory, and the guy was like, so his demeanor changed from like a happy-go-lucky bum that thought he was getting some help to a guy that realized he was getting sold to the factory to do work. So it's kind of interesting. I'm not sure how it's going to play out within the whole game. I mean, the whole Fable's always been about, like, relationships with your character to the other characters in the game, you know, with marrying and kids and your dog and stuff like that.
So I guess, doesn't this one use Natal for a bunch of stuff, too?
Yeah, but they didn't announce anything with what Natal would do.
I thought they said that the finishing moves and stuff would be gestural.
I haven't seen anything on that.
Maybe I read something that
maybe
was wrong.
I don't know.
But I do distinctly remember reading that some like aspects of the game would be Natal based.
I know it was announced that they wanted to use Natal for it, and but the X10 announcements, they didn't officially announce any of that stuff. The other stuff that they announced for it, the weapons in the game are all going to be dynamic. So you start with like some kind of a base weapon, like a sword, and depending on your actions and what you do, it changes the way it looks and stuff. Much like your character has always changed throughout all the games. You know, good stuff, does this to your guy, bad stuff does this to your guy. The weapons are going to be the same way now. But one of the interesting things is your gamer score apparently is going to have an effect on your weapon as well. So your E-peen is going to make a display in the game.
Oh my.
And finally, the best news for us is the game is going to have a true form of co-op. You'll be able to bring your own character and your dog into another person's world. All your stuff will transfer back. Your weapons and stuff come with you. You can touch your co-op partner with the touching system. and then I guess the other new thing is these grand expressions or something like that, I think is what they're calling them. And the way these work is, like, if you're, like, really good, you can do, like, this expression where, like, you'd grow angel wings and divine light would shine down on you and has an effect on, like, the world around you immediately. So, you know, a traditional Lionhead, Peter Molyneux world type stuff, it's still early on. It's a lot of hype and this and that. So we'll have to see how it actually plays out when it's released this fall.
I was kind of hoping that when they actually unveiled Fable 3 for real, it would just be Milo. Like, surprise, you already knew Fable 3. Enjoy.
Creepy.
And I guess I was off base about the Natal stuff. I have no idea where I read that. Probably off some fool's Twitter feed or something.
Maybe.
Something. I'm all baby-addled brain and whatnot.
That's okay. So that's it for the big stories. Do have a couple of quick ones. The classic Resident Evil camera is found in the Resident Evil 5 Lost in Nightmares DLC. And by classic Resident Evil camera, I mean the one that sucks.
Yeah,
and so the way you get that is as soon as you walk in the mansion in the DLC, you walk up to the door, and you just keep smashing A until it says, like, it puts a question mark up, and then it'll switch to that camera. Kat and I played through the DLC the other night, and it's, for fans of the original Resident Evil, there's a ton of, like, throwback stuff in it. A lot of little references, like, everybody remembers in Resident Evil the first time they walked down that hallway and that dog busts through.
The dog, yeah. Right?
So when you walk down, I mean, you literally walk down that hallway again, and you can hear dogs barking in the background. So it's got, like, lots of little subtle things like that. It's pretty cool. Left 4 Dead 2, they counted up the dead zombies, and the final number is 28 billion. Yes, we've killed 28 billion dead zombies, yet the bastards keep coming. So I thought that was a pretty interesting stat. It's pretty cool that they can actually, you know, they can keep that stat, you know.
I wonder if Dead Rising 2 will come with a similar stat tracking, because if you remember, the original Left 4 Dead had a direct nod to Dead Rising's, you know, zombie genocide achievement.
Yeah.
So I wonder if, especially with, you know, Dead Rising 2's developers being Western, if they'll kick a nod back.
Yeah, well, I guess we'll have to see.
Yeah.
So that's about it. We're going to wrap this up as a short podcast this week. And
sorry.
We're busy. But
busy being daddies.
Damn it. So let's see what we got coming up. There's only one co-op release, and that is coming out tomorrow. Metal Slug XX on the PSP.
And not on PSN, which is annoying.
Yeah, well...
It's coming on PSN later, but they're doing a staggered release on it, and I have a PSP Go. Yeah.
But yeah, that's about it that we got for new upcoming releases. We had a few reviews. We did a review of White Knight Chronicles for the PS3. We actually had a video review of that as well. Darwinia Plus for Xbox Live Arcade. We had a Beyond Co-op reviews where we had Mass Effect 2, Silent Hill Origins. Is that the name? Silent Hill Origins? Yeah.
Silent Hill Shattered Memories.
Shattered Memories. What the hell is Origins? That's another one.
Origins is the PSP game.
Okay. All right, I'm not crazy. And Bayonetta. Moving on. We had a few features. We had a Battlefield report with Bad Company 2. Talked a bit about that and Lying Prone. There was a co-op classics for The Simpsons, the arcade game, which was amazing. And then we had an on the download for Purchase Addiction, which was a pretty funny read. And that was it.
So Steam sales are the death of us.
Yes, they are. Hey, I did get to play 15 minutes of Armored Princess the other day.
It's good. It's a good game.
I got through the intro, basically, and then I had to go.
Right.
But, so if you're listening to us on iTunes, you can leave feedback on iTunes. If you're listening to us on the Zune, there's no feedback option on the Zune Marketplace for podcasts. I was kind of disappointed on that. And you can follow us on Twitter. We are Co-Optimist without the dash. I think that's it.
I think that's it, too.
So this has been, what are we, episode 38, February 22nd. And thanks for listening.
Bye-bye.